Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. It is Friday. It is August the 26th, and it is hot in New York, I have to tell you. 94 degrees the last time I looked. I should probably stop looking. I hope wherever you are, the temperature is comfortable and that you've had a good week. It's always great catching up with you at the end of the week to take a hard look at the madness that has transpired during the last 7 days since my last program. And certainly there is no shortage of insanity to be found, especially where the presidential race is concerned, and we will get to it in a moment. But for those of you who are new to my program, who've perhaps never heard this show before, who are perhaps not familiar with me, I am a retired senior special agent with what used to be the Immigration and Naturalization Service, an agency that, when I worked for it, was part of the Justice Department. Today, immigration, having been split up and sliced and diced into various components in the wake of the 9/11 attacks, was moved into the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, an agency that is so thoroughly screwed up that I have come to call it the Department of Homeland Surrender. And it's remarkable, by the way, before we go on, that we hear so much from the open borders anarchists, especially from Hillary Clinton and her supporters, and Tim Kaine and his supporters, about how terrible it is that we want to enforce the immigration laws, and that will be the primary issue for my discussion with you this evening, how terrible it is that we want to support those, we want to enforce those laws, then why in the world did they put those laws and the responsibility for enforcing those laws into the Department of Homeland Security? They didn't put it under Fish and Wildlife. They didn't put it in the Department of Tiddlywinks. They made it properly a component of Homeland Security. And yet, if you dare talk about it, Hillary and company will accuse you of being a bigot, a racist, a xenophobe, a nativist. Gosh, I could go on for the balance of my program telling you all the nasty things that they accuse anyone who wants those borders secured and immigration laws enforced to be. But we will get to that. But first, I want to remind all of you about some websites I would like for you to go visit. My own personal website is Michael Cutler, C-U-T-L-E-R, one word, michaelcutler.net. Also, for quite a few years, I'm very happy to have been affiliated and continue to be affiliated with Californians, a population Stabilization. They are headquartered in beautiful downtown Santa Barbara, California. Great place to visit. Been there a number of times. I always enjoy being there, especially in the winter when we're freezing our petunias here in New York. Their weather is always moderate, always pleasant. Great place, great people. But although the name of their organization is Californians, please realize that the issues that illegal immigration and all these other factors have for California applies to each and every one of the United States of America, all 50 states. So it's not a California issue, it's an American issue. But I do write for them. I've been writing for them for years for their blog at capsweb.org. It's always worth checking out because every day they post new articles by many authors of great knowledge, experience, training, and perspectives. So capsweb.org, the place you want to check each and every day. And in fact, I have an article that should be posted within the next couple of days about globalism and what it is doing to the middle class. I'll give you a hint. It's killing it. It's destroying the middle class. And so that's something that I would love for you to go do, is to check out capsweb.org. I also write for the terrific website Front Page Magazine, sponsored by the David Horowitz Freedom Center. They do great work. I'm very proud to be one of their regular authors, regular columnists, whatever title you want to give me, I'll take it. Goodness, except the titles that Hillary Clinton would give me. Remarkable. But anyway, I also write for The Social Contract. And in point of fact, I just submitted an article to them. It will be a short article to begin with, but it's an article on immigration fraud, the people that lie to get access to our country, who lie to continue to stay here. And among those who have done this in the past have been terrorists and criminals. And don't take my word for it. The 9/11 Commission was very clear about this. And I can tell you that I did provide testimony to the 9/11 Commission. So these topics are very close to my heart, very much involve my life's work. It's hard for me to believe it, but I started working for the old INS in 1971. Scary. too many years ago. I'm getting too darn old, but I guess getting old is better than the alternative. So anyway, I've been involved with this issue, and over the years I have seen personally how the immigration system went from bad to horrific. I used to say that it was an agency in a state of free fall and that bottom was elusive. I am now convinced bottom is illusory, given most of the politicians from both parties where immigration is concerned. Bottom is not elusive, it's illusory. There is no bottom. There is no depth to which most of our supposed elected representatives will stoop to tear down our borders. You know, when Reagan told West Germany, tear down that wall, told East Germany, rather, not West Germany, but East Germany, to tear down the wall that separated it from the West, it was about freedom. There's no freedom in taking down America's borders, only the slavery that comes with poverty. And yet, we're witnessing our government, at its own hand, dismantling our borders, dismantling any efforts to enforce our immigration laws, and that is what I'm going to be discussing with you today, and it's something that I want you to pay attention to, and I would love if you find what I have to say interesting that you do a couple of things. I'd like you to let your friends know about my website, michaelcutler.net. I'd like for you to pass along a link to the podcast of this and other programs that I have done at Blog Talk Radio, the USA Radio, the Michael Cutler Hour, because I want people to understand what immigration is truly about. There's lots of lies out there, and the mainstream media is doing nothing to educate anybody, and I have to believe it's by design. Yet I want you to think about something. Turn on the news, especially with the 24-hour news cycle. A new planet was discovered orbiting a little more than 4 light years from Earth, orbiting Proxima Centauri. And although there were big differences, it orbits a star, if I remember correctly, every 8 days, and Proxima Centauri is a red star, and it's a much cooler star, but this planet is within the habitable zone. I started studying astronomy in the third grade, I guess you can tell. I've always been a science geek and very proud of it. But when they discussed this discovery, which is an amazing discovery, and it's also a testament to the ability of our scientists and our engineers, American scientists, American engineers, immediately the news media had all the experts on, astrophysicists and astronomers and engineers and scientists, and my goodness, there was no shortage of true experts. And when the discussion on television turns to cancer, out come the oncologists and the biochemists and a host of medical and life science professionals to talk about the issue. When the issue is the military, there's no shortage of Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, generals, admirals, colonels. My gosh, they flood the airways with men and women who were part of the U.S. military and went in harm's way in defense of America. When there's a murder or a kidnapping, out comes an FBI profiler or some retired detective, homicide detective. And so it goes. And so it goes. Until the topic, folks, is immigration. Now, there was a time when I was doing as many as 15 television interviews per month on immigration, right after 9/11. Everybody was clear. If immigration hadn't failed, the terrorists couldn't have entered the United States. If immigration hadn't failed, the terrorists couldn't have remained here undetected. If immigration hadn't failed, 9/11 couldn't have happened. And everybody got it. And so I was in great demand. And I don't care. I don't need to have my ugly old mug on TV. Let them put some young person on. But the problem is that going back to the Bush administration, when they created the Department of Homeland Surrender, they sought to minimize immigration law enforcement. Let's not forget that it was under Bush that two Border Patrol agents, Ramos and Campion, were prosecuted because they engaged in a battle with a drug dealer. And the government concealed from them, these defendants, these federal agents, the nature of the guy that they had shot at. Now, I believe that they did not think they hit the guy. And their bosses all knew that bullets had flown, and it seemed from everything that was in the public sector that they acted properly. They acted properly. And yet they were criminally prosecuted. They were convicted. They were railroaded. They went to jail. One guy wound up in solitary confinement after he was almost killed by inmates because they put law enforcement officers in with the general population. I mean, it's unheard of. It's unheard of. It's like they were looking for these guys to die, and this was under the Bush administration. It is both political parties. If you wonder why the mainstream Republicans went nuts when Trump started talking about immigration, it's because they're on the same page with Hillary Clinton. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake. Ronald Reagan gave us the first amnesty. And please don't tell me he said it was the biggest mistake of his career. I don't always agree with O'Reilly, but he made the point of saying, I can't find any evidence that Reagan ever said it. And by the way, he was the commander-in-chief, not only of the armed forces, but of all federal law enforcement agencies. He didn't hire any more agents. If you know that you have a problem with illegal immigration, obviously the solution is to hire more agents. Pretty simple. This isn't rocket science. That never happened. This is by design. The push is on for globalism. It goes back decades, and we are now paying the price for this urge to create a one world or new world order, one world order, whatever you want to call it. I used to scoff at some of the old timers. I used to do radio shows with folks like Mark Edwards down in Las Vegas. I'm not even sure if Mark is still around. He'd be in his 80s now. I hope he is. He's a good guy. It was a privilege to be on his show. 2 o'clock in the morning, New York time. I almost nodded off a couple of times on his program. I was on every week with him. And I learned from people like Mark Edwards and George Putnam, a great broadcaster. They taught me the best way to communicate effectively on the radio. So even though my degree was in communications, arts, and sciences, I have a BA and BS, you never know enough. You can always listen to someone else for advice. And I was always willing to take advice from anybody who seemed to have good advice to offer. And those guys did. And they worried mightily about this concept of New World Order. And I said, oh, this is a conspiracy theory. This is black helicopters. I don't know how else to see it anymore. The 9/11 Commission warned us so clearly and said that border security is a part of national security, that if the terrorists couldn't have entered the country, they couldn't have attacked us. I was called to testify 6 months after 9/11 about how two dead terrorists, one of them the ringleader of 9/11, Mohammed Atta, and another dirtbag by the name of Al-Shehi, could have been granted authorization to attend, of all things, flight school. Flight school. Can you think of this? 6 months after the attack. So by then the whole world knew two things about those bums. They were dead, and they were terrorists. This is a level of ineptitude that goes beyond belief. And it was Sheila Jackson Lee, a liberal Democrat, who invited me to testify. The invitation then had to go to Jim Sensenbrenner, the Republican chair of the House Judiciary Committee. And indeed, he sent me a letter inviting me to testify at that hearing. I participated with him in a couple of hearings since then. We've had meetings together. Both parties were in agreement. There was a failure of the immigration system. Try to go talk to people about that in Washington today. I have sat at hearings with members of Congress who were at some of those hearings. But a couple of years later, I started to very calmly say, well, you know, if you look at the link between immigration and terrorism, and the very same members of Congress who were insistent that we've got to tighten up immigration because it let the terrorists in, did a 180, and suddenly they were saying, oh, Mr. Cutler, there's absolutely no link between immigration and terrorism. Terrorism has nothing to do with immigration. Immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. Don't you even dare suggest that the two things are linked. don't dare think the two things are linked? Read the 9/11 Commission report. Read the 9/11 Commission staff report on terrorist travel, an official report prepared by the attorneys and the federal agents who were assigned to work with the 9/11 Commission. The preface of their report starts out talking about how it might be obvious, but in order to attack us, terrorists have to enter the United States. And that puts it into the domain of immigration. What you folks may not know is that the Joint Terrorism Task Force, which is an operation by the FBI, so the FBI provides, as you would expect, the greatest number of agents. But what you probably don't know is the second largest contingent of law enforcement personnel that are a part of the Joint Terrorism Task Force are immigration agents. Immigration agents. But don't you dare link terrorism to immigration. That's not right. Can't say it. Can't say it. So Hillary goes out there and says there's this alt-right, the alternative right, the loons and the wackies and the crazy people and the bigots and the goon squad who actually think that immigration has something to do with security or crime. Or how dare you make those statements? It just takes my breath away. If you would listen to Hillary Clinton, you would believe that the Border Patrol and immigration officers are badge-carrying bigots. I mean, look, she has castigated law enforcement, while Hillary has gone out there and said that Donald Trump is painting a dark picture of America. Well, there is quite a bit of darkness to the picture right now, created by the current administration of which she was an integral part. Poverty is rampant. Wages for the average family have declined. Upward mobility that had been the American dream, the idea that you could go from poverty to the middle class and from the middle class continue to climb that ladder to success, is largely a myth. And this all happened most predominantly under the Obama administration. They have the chutzpah, as we say in Brooklyn, to boast, oh, unemployment 5%. Is that great? Well, before you break out the champagne and start popping corks, 5% unemployment rate, but if and only if we ignore the plight of 95 million working-age Americans who aren't working. Many of them had been working, were part of the labor force, and got so discouraged, so disgusted, that they couldn't get a meaningful job, that they're not even trying anymore. But we have a 5% unemployment rate. Hillary equates immigration law enforcement, and the news media is an accomplice, with this mythical Latino vote. Last week when I did my program, I made the point that I had testified before the Indiana State Senate. I'm waiting for them to post the link to that hearing so you'll be able to see it. But one of the issues that I raised during my hour or so as a witness at that hearing was to talk about the big, fat, juicy lie that this notion of the Latino voter constitutes. As American citizens, and I don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, a liberal, a conservative, an independent, I don't care if you wear eyeglasses, I don't care if you have freckles, I don't care anything about you. You will probably want what most other Americans want. This isn't a left-right issue, this is an American common sense issue. Here's what I think most Americans want, but maybe I'm just nuts. We want to have a good, solid military that can keep America's enemies as far from our shores as possible. In a matter of speaking, our military is engaged in border security to keep America's enemies as far from our borders as possible. Up close and in person, then the job falls to the Department of Homeland Security, or it's at least supposed to. The Border Patrol, between ports of entry, the inspectors at ports of entry. I was an inspector for the first 4 years of my career. I'm intimately familiar with that job. And if they can get past the Border Patrol, if they can get admitted into the United States, then the task of enforcing the law falls to the special agents, the job I did for 26 years, except we virtually have no special agents. In that game of hide and seek, the bad guys are hiding and virtually nobody is seeking. And therein lies the problem. But when we talk about what all Americans want, we want a good, solid military that can keep our enemies away from us. We want law enforcement across the country, federal, local, state, to make our communities as safe and as free of crime as possible. We want our schools to do a decent job of educating our kids so that when these kids study hard and work hard and get that education, then hopefully, with a little bit of luck perhaps thrown in for good measure, any American can write the next American success story. That's what we want. And we want a double helping of all the above for our children and for their children. So this notion about, oh, the Latino voters, they don't want those borders secured. Oh, no. Really? Anybody of any ethnicity wants criminals coming across the border, wants heroin and cocaine coming across the border, potentially weapons of mass destruction coming across the border? They want spies coming across the border. They want war criminals and fugitives from justice and terrorists to come across the border. Does anybody believe that? Because that's why we have immigration laws. Yesterday, August 25th, I sat down and did a 10-minute video for the Glazov gang. Jamie Glazov does a great job, and I've done a bunch of these for him. It's called the Michael Cutler Hour. And I talked about a particular section of immigration law because I was addressing this issue about Hillary and her outrageous statements about immigration and the lies being spewed by the mainstream media. Because, you see, the mainstream media, as I started out saying in the beginning, is quick to bring in experts to talk about everything and anything, whether it's homicides, whether it's science, whether it's medicine. But when it comes down to immigration, you will never see an immigration agent. Now, why is that? Why is it that they'll bring in generals to talk about military issues and doctors to talk about medical issues, but when the topic turns to immigration, they no longer bring in immigration agents? They might bring in an analyst, and analysts are okay, sort of, kind of. But they don't understand the job the way that an agent out in the street understands the job. The agent who had to put together investigations and go before grand juries and secure that indictment, secure that search warrant, they don't do those things. You know, it was interesting. Donald Trump, during an appearance on Hannity, said that he doesn't want to talk to anybody about immigration except people who actually did the job. And I understand that. You want to talk to people who have made the arrests, who've done the interrogations, who have firsthand knowledge of what's really going on out there. And you would think that the same networks that hunt down the astronauts and the scientists and the biochemists and the generals and the commandos and the detectives would reach out to immigration agents when the topic is immigration. And they don't. And they don't. And this isn't an accident, folks. This isn't a mere oversight. This isn't an oops moment. Really, it's not. And there's a good reason why they don't want former agents to come on. Because the agent is going to tell you things that the mainstream media doesn't want you to know. They want to perpetrate the myth, first of all, that all that's wrong with the immigration system is that the southern border isn't secure. Build the fence and the problem is solved. And we've heard this. Every talk show in the world just about, that's all you hear about. Build the wall, build the wall. Now Donald Trump has caught on with this. And you hear the guys in the audience, people in the audience, build that wall, build that wall. Okay, whoopee. A wall by itself will do bupkis. I know some of you are probably wild-eyed and saying, my God, what is Cutler talking about? But if all we did was build a wall, if we could get the deflector shield off the Starship Enterprise and set it up along that border and say, job done, mission accomplished, you'd be in for a huge shock. If the U.S.-Mexican border was so solid that a mosquito couldn't get across the border, 9/11 would have happened exactly the way it happened. Faisal Shahzad, the Times Square bomber, wouldn't have been impacted. The Tsarnaev brothers wouldn't have been impacted. The San Bernardino terror case, no difference. The 1993 bombing at the Trade Center, no impact. The attack at the CIA a month earlier by Cansey, same deal. Why? Those people all came in through international airports. Without interior enforcement, I don't give a damn what you do to that border. I don't care if you build a wall that is a half mile high and put barbed wire and run 1,000,000 volts of electricity through the wire, 9/11 would have happened. All those other terrorist attacks would have happened. In New York, we have a huge problem with gangsters, drug gangs, whether it's from Jamaica, whether it's from the Dominican Republic. Most of those people don't run the border. They land at the airport. Some stow away on ships. But many of them do not see the Mexican border or the Canadian border. So does that mean we shouldn't secure the borders? Of course we have to. Absolutely we have to. But a long time ago, I wrote an article for Front Page Magazine. I called it Border Security and the Immigration Colander. This notion that if you plug one or two holes in the bottom of a colander, you've taken that sieve and converted it into a watertight bucket is insane. And then I hear some of these dumb questions when I'm out there, you know. No question is dumb. Forgive me if I'm offending somebody. But, Mr. Cutler, shouldn't we at least start by securing the border? And my answer is, okay, so you're sitting in a rowboat, and there's sharks in the water, and you have 10 holes in your boat. So how about if we plug half of the 10 holes? How are you going to do? You're dead. You're dead. This is America. We can do anything. I know we've been conditioned to believe we're a bunch of incompetent nincompoops, but that's mostly the politicians that we elect. 50 years ago, think about this. John F. Kennedy said, we're going to the moon. 1962, if I remember the date correctly, or 61 or 62, we're going to the moon. And everybody was in shock. Going to the moon. And by God, we did it. There was no such thing as mission impossible for America or Americans. At most, it was mission difficult. We built the Panama Canal. It was an American airplane, the X-1, piloted by an American pilot, Chuck Yeager, that broke the sound barrier October 15, 1947. There were American astronauts who repeatedly walked on the moon. No one's since done that, no one has ever done that except America. We just put a satellite into orbit around Jupiter, American engineers and scientists. A year ago, the New Horizons spacecraft flew past Pluto with unbelievable precision. Two Voyager spacecraft are on their way out of the solar system, launched in the 70s, and they're still functioning. We're still getting data back. So building a wall for a country with these accomplishments is more than we can do? Figuring a strategy to enforce the law is more than we can do? When I was in Indianapolis, one of the state senators, who for whatever reason, probably because he just doesn't want anything to change, said, oh, it's such a bleak picture, Mr. Cutler. We have 11 million people. We can't do anything about it. What are we going to do? And he throws his hands up in the air. What are we going to do? After all, we're inept Americans, right? People should be angry when they hear this garbage. We've gone from the can-do country to the can't-do country with a bullshit explanation spewed by a bullshit artist known as a politician. You know, they used to say that the magnet that drew the bulk of illegal aliens across our border was the prospect of jobs offered by unscrupulous employers. Do you know what the magnet is today that's drawing those aliens across the borders? It's our political leaders. It's politicians who say, oh, there's too many aliens to deport. We may as well give them legal status. Really? So why are we spending $14 billion a year on Customs and Border Protection and employ more than 60,000 people? Why? What's the point? Why not simply say, okay, we'll be the first country in the world with no borders. When flights land at our international airports from anywhere in the world, just grab your bag and go where you want to go. It doesn't matter to us. Because really, that is Hillary Clinton's message. And really, that was George Bush's message. Never mind that they all but do an anal cavity search when you get on board that airplane to fly to your family on the other side of America. People that want to come here basically should feel free to come here no matter how they want to come here. Because that is what any politician who talks about legalizing millions of illegal aliens who trespassed on America, who evaded the inspections process, would be doing. They would be getting lawful status even though there'd be no way to confirm their identity. The section of law that Donald Trump should be quoting at the debate if only the people that are talking to him are giving him the right advice. I hope they're giving him good advice. I don't know. But you see, I could deflect Hillary Clinton's arguments in 3 minutes, and she would have to go home and take her little bag of marbles and hide next to her server in the basement of her house in Chappaqua. Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182. Write it down. And your homework assignment, boys and girls, is go check it out or read the articles I've been writing for capsweb.org, Front Page Magazine, The Social Contract, or go to my website. But I want you to go look at Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182. Now, why do I want you to look that up? Because that section of law tells the inspectors at the ports of entry and tells the immigration judges who are supposed to be kept out of the United States. And when you read this, any notion that this is about race or bigotry or discrimination or profiling goes out the window. Period. The discussion is over. Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182. It is aliens with dangerous communicable diseases. Let's remember, Ellis Island was a quarantine station. Aliens who are mentally ill and prone to extreme violence or are sex offenders. Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182. Aliens who have committed crimes. We're talking about drug dealers, murderers, arsonists, rapists, extortionists, okay, who are fugitives from justice. Aliens, that is to say, who are fugitives from justice. Aliens who have been previously deported. Aliens who are human rights violators and or are war criminals. Aliens who are spies. Aliens who are terrorists. That's who we're supposed to keep out. And it's not left to the discretion of the inspector. It's in the law, the Immigration and Nationality Act, Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182. It doesn't say people of this ethnicity or this color or this religion or that religion. Aliens with dangerous diseases, aliens mentally ill, aliens who are criminals, spies, human rights violators, terrorists. And then we get to aliens who would likely become a public charge, and aliens who, if they worked, would displace American workers. Those are the grounds for exclusion. Nothing about race, nothing about religion, nothing about ethnicity. It's about protecting Americans. It's about protecting Americans. So now you have Hillary Clinton running around saying, oh, that Trump guy, he's a bigot. He wants to keep out people from Mexico. Well, it's not just Mexico. Nearly half of all illegal aliens in the United States didn't come across the border. They came through ports of entry and violated the terms of their admission, like the terrorists. So this notion that if you dare call for border security and immigration law enforcement that you're an evil person is bunk. And the most likely victims of the crimes that are committed by transnational criminals, in point of fact, are the members of the same ethnic immigrant communities. Now, what do I mean by that? Yes, you do have bad guys from Mexico, and I've arrested my share. People wanted for serious crimes in Mexico and from Latin America, but I also arrested a guy wanted for murder in Israel, and he stood trial. I worked with the Israeli National Police. In fact, Israel is the only country I ever worked with that when I arrested a serious criminal, it cost America nothing. Usually when we deport criminal aliens, we have to have officers go with them. It's very expensive. Airplane tickets for everybody, hotels and overtime, and the list goes on. When I worked with the Israeli National Police, I called them up. They told me, we need this guy. We think we know where he might be, but if you can find him, he's wanted for murder. He's wanted for kidnapping. He's wanted because he was involved with a narcotics transaction. And I would go out there. I would arrest him. We put him before a judge, and when the judge ordered him deported, I would call the Israelis and say, your guy's ready. And you know what they did? They provided me with a ticket on El Al Airlines, and their police officers, the Israeli National Police, would send as many people as necessary to the United States, we would hand over the criminal to the Israeli police, and the guy would disappear into the wild blue on an El Al jet, and all it cost America was the gasoline to put this guy in a car and drive him to the airport. I've arrested people wanted for murder in Jamaica, people wanted for crimes in Japan. I got an award from the Japanese government for helping them with a woman who was involved with a major cocaine smuggling ring. She's not Mexican. The Israeli murder suspect, actually the murderer, he was convicted, wasn't Mexican. He wasn't Latino. This is the lie that we're hearing from Hillary. This is the lie that we've been hearing again and again and again, that this is somehow aimed at Mexicans, somehow aimed at Latinos. And then we hear about the Latino vote and how we're going to offend Latinos if somehow we send people back to their home country. Ladies and gentlemen, this is crazy. This is madness. And what's infuriating is that we know what the mainstream media does. They won't have this conversation. They won't. They absolutely flat out won't do it. They would rather bring in a pollster who talks about Latino voters or a political strategist. I want to know what you study to be a political strategist. Mud wrestling? To me, political strategists should have majored in mud wrestling when they went to public school. That's all the education they need. This is as dumb a make-believe profession as anything I've ever heard. I watch these political strategists. Goodness, I don't think half these people can play checkers, let alone chess strategists that they are, spewing utter nonsense, fertilizer. If you want to know about immigration, why, as a news organization, aren't they willing to look to go to immigration agents and say, okay, where are we? They do it with homicides, they do it with kidnappings, they do it when military issues are concerned. But why is it? Why is it that when the topic is immigration, they bring on pollsters and they bring on political strategists who majored in mud wrestling? Do you understand the level of deception that we are being subjected to by supposed news organizations? The founding fathers understood how important education was, understood how important an informed electorate is. The First Amendment, it's all about it. Freedom of press, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. And by the way, I mentioned this before, I'll mention it again. Freedom of press did not mean NBC News or CNN or even Fox. Freedom of press meant that you could have a printing press in your house and print books or print pamphlets. Because in 1776, there were no computers, there were no telephones, there were no radios, and there were no televisions. The only means of mass communication, the only means, was a printing press. And the Founding Fathers said that as a citizen of these United States of America, you have the right to get that printing press up and running. Just like today, you have the right to use your email and reach out to every fellow American and tell them what you think and let them decide for themselves whether they want to believe what you're saying or agree with what you're saying. Freedom of press. Freedom of mass communication is what you would call it today. Freedom of mass communication. And where are we with mass communication? Well, for the most part, mass communication is controlled by the media. So what freedom of press do we really have? What news program is willing to tell you the truth about what immigration is really about? Nobody. Why? Because this is the modern equivalent of slavery. This is about cheap, exploitable labor. People say to me, Mike, you're a registered Democrat. Why are you so strong on immigration? For the same reason that Barbara Jordan, a congresswoman from Texas, she was a liberal Democrat. The Jordan Commission came up with the same findings I'm giving you. She passed away a number of years ago. She did brilliant work, because this is about American workers, you know. Jeff Sessions is one of my few heroes in the Senate, and he's a conservative Republican, and he's very much concerned about what this is doing to American workers and their families and wages in America. I'm a labor guy. My dad was a construction worker. He was a plumber, a tradesman, my biggest hero. He and my mom. I grew up on construction sites. You know, the work Americans won't do. Go tell that to some of those iron workers or plumbers or carpenters or bricklayers. Tell them about the work they're not willing to do and see how quickly they rip your head off. These are straight-shooting, hard-working Americans that built this damn country, unlike the lying politicians who wouldn't know the truth if it bit them on the nose or some other appendage. We're being lied to and deceived by the politicians. We're being lied to and deceived by the news media. And it takes work to figure out what the truth is. And that's why I do this program every single Friday. I sit in my bedroom with my laptop and my telephone, because I am adamant about providing as much of the information the mainstream media is trying to keep from you. And what I'm telling you is fact-based. When I tell you about that section of law, I'm not making it up. I didn't pull it off some rumor mill on the internet. Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182. Please look it up. And you look at those categories of aliens who should be excluded from the United States, and when you have a neighbor say to you, oh, the people that want those borders secure are bigots, ask them, of these categories of aliens, who would you like having living next door to you? Would you like the child molester to move in next door to you, or the drug dealer, or the guy who's suffering from an extremely contagious disease that you might easily catch that might be fatal? Do you want terrorists and spies living next door to you? Gang members, perhaps? Nobody in their right mind would want to live next door to people like that, would want those people in this country. And it's in the law. It's crystal clear. And that's why you're not going to see an immigration agent come on TV and talk about that section of law. And there are other sections of law that are just as unequivocal and just as convincing and just as absolute. But I wouldn't expect an analyst who cuts out paper dolls for a living to know about it, because they didn't have to apply the law. They didn't make arrests. They never sat down and interrogated a guy that they had to chase for 10 blocks and have a fist fight with him, and then find out that the reason the guy was running from you so hard and so determined was because he's wanted for 3 homicides in his home country. They never experienced that. They sit there and they have their little calculator, and they put little scratches on a piece of paper, and they take out their graphs, and they chart their numbers, and it looks so nice and neat. All it needs is a little red ribbon, and it'd be so cute. Talk to the goddamn agents that go out there and risk their lives to enforce the laws to protect America. But they're not going to do that. Then you would know the real story, and that's not what they're in the business of providing. They are propaganda machines. And no, this is not about political correctness. It's about being Orwellian. And George Orwell very properly said that in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. So I guess my program constitutes a revolutionary act. So be it. But this is common sense, too. There was an article that was published, U.S. News World Report, August 22nd, 4 days ago. Here's the title. Dream On. Growing inequality has made the American rags-to-riches story more myth than reality. And what did they talk about? Well, they talked about globalism. They talked about mechanism. You know, we're automating jobs, and computers are taking the jobs people used to do, and that's certainly true. When you look at how it's made on the Science Channel, and, you know, when you always think about the Model T Ford being cranked out, all those burly guys in grease-spattered coveralls pushing the car from one workstation to the next. And today you look at the way cars are made, it looks like they're manufacturing spacecraft. The floors of the factory are shiny, and most of the work is being done by robots. Most of the work being done by robots. And increasingly, work is being done by robots without any human intervention. So we have a decreasing need for labor. So that's certainly an issue. And that's going to be the focus, by the way, of the Social Contract Fall Edition. But then, of course, you're going to have my article about immigration fraud, the lies that kill. So I hope you find that interesting. But the point of the matter is, the opportunities aren't there to get out of the almost caste system, you know. You're born poor, you're going to die poor in America today. The only group of people that are really making out, literally and figuratively, like bandits, according to this article and other studies, are the top 1%ers. every year, the amount of money that they rake in, that they shovel into their big, huge, humongous bank accounts, they probably have their own banks just for their own money, it just keeps going up and up and up, and they have insulated themselves so that no matter what they do, they stay in the top 1%. This is an oligarchy, boys and girls. This is not a republic. And I believe it was a university professor at Princeton who 1 or 2 years ago wrote an article where he said that America had become an oligarchy, where the wealthy get exactly what they want. And they are. They're getting exactly what they want. And so what do they want? More money. Because when you're worth $10 billion, God only knows. If there's anything you need, it's more money. If you have 10 mansions, you know what you need more than anything in the world? An 11th mansion, right? So the oligarchy, they keep everything humming so they can drag all that money into their bank accounts, and they're destroying opportunities for Americans across the board. Across the board. And you look at the way that Hillary and company have been manipulating the poor. Both parties are responsible, but I have to tell you, to listen to Hillary say that Donald Trump is a fearmonger. But what is the message of Hillary Clinton and Black Lives Matter? Be very afraid, viewing fear. But who are these kids who live in poverty, live in desperation, live in a sense of hopelessness? Who are they being told to fear? Police. Think of the insanity of this. Fear the police. This is pitting American against American. You know, Hillary may claim that we're scapegoating the immigrants, and I don't. I feel bad for people who came here legally, and when I meet them, they're very angry. You know, we jumped through all these hoops. It took so long. It cost so much money. And now they want to give people that came here illegally the same thing I got, but only faster and for free? Why? You know, I compare it to taking a drive down the Jersey Turnpike. You have 2 lanes now, cash, easy pass. Imagine a third lane that said free, no speed limits. You have massive quantities of heroin flooding into the United States. That's where the violence comes from, the drugs and the gangs. The drugs and the gangs. You have an administration that has released well over 100,000 criminal aliens who went on and committed more homicides, more rapes, more assaults, more robberies. You have a president who talks about, got to get those guns off the street, but yet, according to a report within the past 2 weeks, he's going to pardon or release at least 106 convicted gun offenders. Gun offenders. They use guns to commit crimes and they're in federal jail, but they're going to be released. Convicted drug dealers, nonviolent drug dealers. On the federal level, there's no such thing. And anybody who sells drugs is not nonviolent. I would rather take a beating than have myself addicted to narcotics. The pushers that are out there that hook the kids on narcotics are destroying those children's lives, as certainly as if they had crippled them. Because addiction does cripple them, and it very often causes them to lose their lives. Certainly, it causes them to lose a good future in all too many cases. So on the one hand, you know, the cops are evil, but we're going to turn the bad guys loose. Guns are evil, but we're going to turn people with gun convictions loose. Does anyone understand the level of betrayal that we are talking about? And Donald Trump wouldn't have to get the Mexican government to pay for that fence, by the way. Each year, the United States is losing a couple of $100 billion in remittances. That money, if it didn't leave our economy, would have everybody working again, would have the economy humming again. When Americans get displaced, they lose their disposable income, so they can't make any purchases. When they lose their jobs, instead of earning a paycheck, they start to rely on those expensive safety net programs. Instead of paying taxes, they drain money out of the U.S. Treasury. And then you add to that the fact that at least $200, maybe $300 billion a year is being wired out of the United States. And globally, by the way, guess which country gets the greatest amount of money wired home? India, followed by China, and then we get to Mexico. You see, this isn't about Mexicans, it's not about Latinos, it's not about brown skin. These are the games that are being played, these are the lies that are being foisted on us. And for the most part, the mainstream media won't talk about it. I'd like to have a dollar for every person on every one day when we hear the phrase Latino voter. Donald Trump is meeting with the Latino community because of his concerns about the Latino voter. Could you imagine if you had a dollar for every time that kind of report was, you know, broadcast on one day by every network? You'd probably be worth more than Hillary Clinton. I mean, understand what's going on. It's lie after lie, and people start to believe the lie. Oh, this is about the poor Latinos, people that want the border secured. Of course, they hate Mexicans. No, I don't hate Mexicans. And I'm going to tell you something. When we hear this business about family reunification, why doesn't anybody stop and ask a more fundamental question? How did the family get divided in the first place? I'll tell you how the family got divided in the first place. Because Mexico and countries like Mexico treat their people so terribly. And Mexico is an example that I do like to talk about because they have, I believe, either the 16th or 17th biggest economy on the planet. Huge economy. Carlos Slim is a Mexican. He was born in Mexico. He went to university in Mexico. He owns part of the New York Times, which explains their policies, though, their editorial policies. And at one point, he was the wealthiest man in the world, a guy born in Mexico and educated in Mexico. How did that happen? Became the wealthiest man in the world. And he's still way up there. I'm sure he's in the top 10 or top 15. A Mexican so wealthy? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. He's part of the oligarchy. Mexico is eager to send their people to America, and at least 10% of Mexico lives in America now. Why? Because these are people they don't have to worry about providing health care or education for. These are people they don't have to feed. These are people who are here sending money home. Mexico counts on money coming back from petroleum, money coming back from the drug trade, money coming back from the remittances sent home by their citizens working in the United States. And in fact, I just wrote an article, Front Page Magazine, believe it or not, the United States has now partnered with Mexico and other Latin American countries to help us keep illegal aliens out of the United States from Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. Apparently, these aliens are going through Brazil to get travel documents. And I've written about this in the past. The tri-border region of Brazil is a dangerous place. Where Brazil abuts with Paraguay and Argentina, you have terror training camps being run by Hamas and Hezbollah, and likely ISIS and Al-Qaeda. So you have people from the Middle East going into Brazil to get travel documents, and Africa, and we know there's a problem with Al-Qaeda in Africa and ISIS. God knows where in Brazil they're getting the documents or who they're affiliated with in reality. And we're asking Mexico, the country that any time we talk about securing the border, they have a cow and chastise us and complain and threatened to go to the world courts or wherever the hell they want to go, and was saying to them, hey, can you help me secure my border? That's like going to Willie Sutton, the bank robber, when he was alive, and asking him to be a security guard in your bank. What could possibly go wrong? We're being deceived every which way. Americans are losing their lives. Americans are losing their jobs. Americans are losing their expectation of success, or at least the, I won't say expectation, but this concept of the American dream that said that if you're willing to work hard with a little bit of luck, anybody could be the next success story. That's evaporating, and that article from U.S. News and World Report was crystal clear about it. In fact, I cite that article in my forthcoming piece for the CAPSWeb.org website for their blog. This is a con job unlike any other. The way Americans are being conned, the way that Americans are being vilified, and if anybody is being scapegoated by this administration, it's anybody with an ounce of sense who says, let's protect our country from people coming here who shouldn't be coming here. Homeowners and apartment dwellers look through peepholes before we admit strangers into our homes. That's not being antisocial. That's being intelligent. That's being reasonable. That's demonstrating common sense. That's what our immigration laws are supposed to do. And yet I guarantee you this weekend, a couple of thousand times, you're going to hear about the Latino voter and how the Republicans are in trouble because if they insist on securing the border and enforcing the law, by God, they're going to lose the Latino vote. It's disgusting. It's a form of profiling. It's bigotry. It's not true. But they do have enough people convinced that anybody who wants the border secured is a racist. Now that's pretty goddamn disgusting. Awful thing to pit American against American when some American stands up and says, let's keep the drugs out of America. Let's keep the criminals and the terrorists out of our country. Let's make sure that Americans get first shot at those jobs. And when you look at the damage done to American, the black communities and the minority communities, the Latino communities of Americans, these folks are getting hammered the worst. And they're being manipulated. And when I looked at those riots in Baltimore and St. Louis, I thought about those desperate kids and how they were being manipulated. They're being told, you're in this situation because you're not being treated fairly. And meanwhile, who's not treating them fairly? Hillary Clinton, the Democrats, and the Republicans, both sides of the aisle. As long as they support legalizing illegal aliens, as long as they support H-1B visas, as long as they support these trade agreements, they are the reason that we have this mess. And by the way, if we legalized all those millions of illegal aliens, they would then be able to bring their millions of kids to America from their home country. These kids can't speak English. Some of them are teenagers. What grade would you even put them in? And if schools can't cope with the pressures they're under now, what do you think would happen if we flooded the schools across the country with millions of new students from other countries where these kids don't even speak English? If anybody thinks this is in the best interest of any American, and in particular America's poor, America's minority communities, I want to know what in the world you're drinking. This is all an act of national suicide being foisted on us by individuals who don't care about their oaths of office, by individuals who don't care about the future of America, and by individuals who don't care about the future of their fellow Americans. And increasingly, this is the plight that we are in, and we need to stand up. We need to make it clear to these elected officials that they work for us. I generally like to refer to my elected representatives by their first name to remind them who the employer is. They are not my employer. I am their employer. And if you have a member of Congress who refuses to meet with you, who refuses to attend a town hall meeting, as far as I'm concerned, that employee is insubordinate. If you had a company and your employees refused to meet with you, I'm certain you would fire them. These elected officials are our employees, and that's what Election Day is for, to fire those of them who refuse to meet with us. Last point for you, please go to the Customs and Border Protection website and read what the mission statement for Immigration Officers Office, CBP, is. I mean, it is so crystal clear, and so you have Hillary saying that, you know, anyone that wants the border secured is some kind of a bigot. It's absolutely unbelievable. It just blows my mind that people don't understand this. They talk about this. They safeguard America's borders, thereby protecting the public from dangerous people and materials while enhancing the nation's global economic competitiveness. That sounds like an agency that shouldn't be allowed to do its job effectively. Goodness gracious. Anyway, I want to thank all of you for joining me today on the Michael Cutler Hour. I plan to be back here again next week, same time, at the Michael Cutler Hour. But meanwhile, please check out capsweb.org, front page magazine, The Social Contract, of course, my favorite website, michaelcutler.net. And please remember, folks, democracy is not a spectator sport. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you next week.